This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the prophet and the messenger of Allah. And I also testify that all the prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent are all the prophets and messengers of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent over 124,000 prophets and messengers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only mentioned 25 of them in the Quran al-Kareem. And we are talking about the stories of those 25 prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, and others that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the ahadith. And why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention 124,000 prophet and messenger? You could imagine 124,000 prophet and messenger to be mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem. It's not going to be easy for someone to memorize. 25 and people are struggling to memorize. Can you imagine when it's 124,000? So it's a big number of prophets and messengers. So we believe in all those prophets and messengers. And we've been talking about one of the greatest prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent, Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim. Ibrahim alayhi salam, who is one of the great grandfathers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ibrahim is a non-Arab. Ibrahim alayhi salam is non-Arab. And we mentioned the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam is the greatest human being, prophet and messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the greatest prophet and messenger of all is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the Ulul Azmi min al-Rusul that was spoken about him before, and then the other 25 prophets and messengers, then the rest of the messengers, then the rest of the prophets. And is there a difference between a messenger and a prophet? Yes. And we mentioned the difference between the two, and we said a messenger is a higher status rank than a prophet. And how many messengers did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 313 messengers. Which means the rest of the prophets, or the rest of the 124,000 prophets and messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, the rest of them are just prophets. And we mentioned that every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is a prophet and a messenger. And he originates from Babylon, which is on the northern side of Iraq. And then he moved to Syria. And then from Syria he moved to Egypt. And from Egypt he moved to Palestine. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with his first child, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. And Allah azza wa jalla commanded him to take that child and his mother to Mecca, in the middle of that valley. Middle of nowhere. Literally middle of nowhere. So that was the big test. Then it followed another bigger test. When Ismail alayhi salam grew and he became fit and young and strong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him another test. And what was that test? Go and slaughter him. And he obeyed. He complied. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him. And what was the reward? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to slaughter his son anymore. And Allah azza wa jal substituted that slaughter. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala substituted Ismail alayhi salam with a ram or a sheep that came from the heavens, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to slaughter that sheep that came from the heaven. And then that became a commemorable thing that we do every single year during the days of Hajj. During the days of Hajj, we go and slaughter as we commemorate that great sacrifice of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we mention how Ismail alayhi salam grew up in Mecca after the tribe of Jurhum, which is an Arab tribe that migrated from Yemen to the Arab Peninsula, then they settled in Mecca. So Ismail alayhi salam grew up amongst the people of Jurhum. So he learned the Arabic from them, he got married from one of them, and then he became their chief. And he became very eloquent in Arabic language. So now he moved away from being a non-Arab into an Arab, in which that process we call in Arabic al-isti'rab, or Arabized. Arab. It's like, you know, you've got immigrants that come to Australia originally from Asia, Africa, and then they become Australians. So Ismail alayhi salam, he's not originally Arab, but he Arabized. He became Arabized. And that's why most of the Arabs are not originally. If you want to go back to the roots, most of the Arabs are not originally Arabs, but they've just been Arabized. And the language that they speak these days, 90% of them is far away from the classical Arabic. 90% of them are far away from the classical Arabic.
These podcasts.
Five cars, huh? Okay. Yeah, not one car, five cars, alhamdulillah. So there's a number of cars, alhamdulillah. I might as well become a car dealer here. Okay, so BTZ77X, BSP19T, PQ777, DLM86E. I thought it was my car, alhamdulillah, it's not. Okay, so this car, go move those cars. If they don't get moved in the next 10 minutes, get a tow truck. Khair. All right, so please, ikhwani, when you come here, park your car appropriately. Park your car appropriately. I know 3/4 of you are graduates from Punchable Boys, but you still need to park your car appropriately. Okay, so park your car appropriately. Allah yarda alaykum. I don't have to make this announcement every time you come here. It's just simple. Park your car appropriately. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Taib, can we continue? Okay, you've got people watching this around the world and they're hearing me talking about this and they're just saying, what is this guy going on about? So alhamdulillah, excuse me. All right. So Ismail alayhi salam grew up in Mecca. And he grew up within the tribe of Jurhum, which is an original Arab tribe that settled there. And we spoke about the story of Jurhum, how they came and they saw Hazar alayhi salam with his son Ismail, and she had that well of Zamzam, and then they bartered with her, they gave her food, in return they take that water, and then they settled there. And that's where the settlement and civilization started in Mecca. And that's why Mecca has a number of names. It's called Mecca. But the original name is Bakka. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Mecca in the Quran al-Kareem, Bakka. Mecca, Bakka, Ummul Qura, the mother of towns. Baytullah al-Haram, the sacred place. So Mecca has a number of names. So after Ibrahim alayhi salam settled, he took his wife and his son Ismail alayhi salam, and he made them settle in Mecca. And that's where Ismail alayhi salam grew up there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Jurhum and they lived there. Now civilization started to take place in Mecca. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam with the second test. And the second test was for him to go and slaughter his son Ismail. And he passed the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with another child. And that was Ishaq. And we spoke about the story last week. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Ibrahim alayhi salam because he fulfilled the task. Or Ibrahim alladhi wafa. And he passed the exam, he passed the trial and the test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with another child. This child, his name is Ishaq. And who did he come from? From Sarah. She was barren and she was old. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him. Allah can make the impossible possible. It's all about your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Aba Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will turn things around. Allah will shift things around. Because He's the one that controls the affairs. Not you, not me, not anyone else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see that sacrifice. And this is a message for us as Muslims, where you see that Islam is a yitaga, and Islam has been bombarded, and Islam is this, and Islam is being demonized, and Islam is that. It's all about us fulfilling the rights of Islam in our lives, and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how Allah azza wa jalla turn things. The affairs of this dunya are not in the hands of anyone except Allah. Not in the hands of the East or the West. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned things around. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned things around, for Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's slaughtering his son, an only son, and he was attached to his son. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salvaged. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved his son, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with another son from a wife that he had for many years, and she was barren. And we spoke about that story. Now, and today we finish off the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to fulfill another task. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ibrahim in the Quran al-Kareem. Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments. Ibrahim, the one that had obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all his orders, even the big and drastic orders. Go and slaughter your son. Do you think that's something small? Wallahi ikhwani, when you really think about it, it's beyond your imagination. It's beyond your imagination when you really think about it. Don't just look at it, oh, subhanAllah, what a touching story. Look at the big sacrifice. And not any son. Yes, I know sometimes you feel like taking your own son, I understand that, which is wrong, of course, and illegal. But when you have Ismail alayhi salam, a righteous boy, very well mannered, very well disciplined, very this, very that, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim to slaughter his son, Ismail. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim another commandment. What's this commandment? establish a house in the middle of this valley. What's this house? What we refer to? Baytullah, the house of Allah. Usually when you use the term house, the house of Ahmad and Mahmoud and Fatima and Jack and Bob and James, it means that this is a house that these people live in it. When we say the house of Allah, excuse me, does Allah live in it? No, he doesn't. We don't have this principle. Allah doesn't live anywhere. Allah is the one that creates the places. So where was he before he created the places? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't live in those things. Allah is beyond the concept of living in a confined area. So what does it mean where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a house? It's a resemblance, or it resembles the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sign. A sign that signifies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Allah doesn't need a house to live in it, nor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts to have a house to live in it. But the house of Allah means a resemble, a sign of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to establish a house in the middle of that valley, called the valley of Mecca or Bekka. What's the purpose of that house? It's a sign, a resemblance of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a place where people will flock to perform pilgrimage. A place where people will visit in responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the call of Ibrahim. Now the question is, were there any houses before the Kaaba? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that question. And let the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answer himself. Get a confirmed, verified, authentic, correct, substantial answer from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the companions asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, which house of the houses of Allah azza wa jal was the first house to be established on the face of this earth? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the Kaaba. The Kaaba. So the first house of Allah to be established on the face of this earth is the Kaaba. No house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was established before the Kaaba. Who established it? Ibrahim. This companion, he's eager to know. He wants to know more. He said, O Messenger of Allah, what's the second house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was established on the face of this earth? So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. So this companion wanted to ask more. And he said, what's the duration between the establishment of the Kaaba and the establishment of Masjid al-Aqsa? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, 40 years. Look how precise the information the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. Do you think the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got it from anywhere? Allah azza wa jalla is the one that had revealed it to him. It's not like Allah went on Google and Googled it. You know, you're talking about information. You need revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell you exactly this information. So the first house to be established on the face of this earth, the Kaaba. 40 years after that, it was Masjid al-Aqsa. Who established the Kaaba? Ibrahim and Ismail. Who established Masjid al-Aqsa? Ishaq and Yaqub. The son of Ibrahim and the grandson of Ibrahim. And that's another story we'll talk about later on. So the first house to be established on the face of this earth was the Kaaba. By who? By Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's the majority opinion. There are other opinions from other scholars who say that the first house to be established on the face of this earth was the Kaaba by Adam alayhi salam. And some say by the angels before Adam. And some say by Shaykh. And some say by Nuh. But the majority opinion, which gives it more authenticity because of the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first house to be established on the face of this earth is the Kaaba by Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the help of his son Ismail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Allah commands him, says to him, I want you to establish a house for me in the middle of this valley. And we've already defined, and we've already spoken about, what does it mean the house of Allah azza wa jal? It's a symbol, symbolic. It's a symbolic thing that signifies the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you, as a Muslim, you are more beloved to Allah azza wa jalla, more honorable to Allah than the Kaaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jalla, sees the blood of a Muslim a lot more honorable than the Kaaba to be destroyed. It is a lot more easier to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Kaaba to be destroyed than the blood of a Muslim to be spilled. So you as a Muslim, your honor is higher than the Kaaba. So the Kaaba is just a symbol. It doesn't increase or decrease. It's just a symbol that resembles the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is monotheism, tawheed. And that's what all the prophets and messengers came with. They came with the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. They all came with one religion. That religion to Allah azza wa jalla is what? Islam. And only Islam. Believe in Allah and only Allah. So Allah commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to establish the Kaaba. So Ibrahim alayhi salam calls his son Ismail and he tells him, oh Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given me a mission. So he said, what it is? Oh dad, he said for me to establish a house here right in the middle of this valley. So obviously Ismail, he said, I mean, now Ismail is a prophet too. Before his father slaughtering him, before the father slaughtering Ismail alayhi salam, Ismail wasn't a prophet, but as a gift to the compliance and the obedience of Ismail with his dad and his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promoted Ismail and made him to be a prophet. So now you've got two prophets, two messengers, Ibrahim and Ismail. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam to establish the Kaaba in the middle of that valley, which is known as the Valley of Mecca or the Valley of Bakka. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam receives instructions. Okay, how do you want me to build a yalla? You want me to build a house? How? Two levels, three levels, five levels, this, that. Jibreel is the one that used to tell Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he's the one that used to instruct Ibrahim alayhi salam how to build the Kaaba. So it's not like it was just off his head that he just used to establish the Kaaba. No. It wasn't just from his head that he used to just go ahead and establish the Kaaba. He was instructed. He was instructed by Jibreel how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that Kaaba. So the architect is Jibreel. Obviously, who's instructing Jibreel? Allah. So the architect is Jibreel. And the builder is who? Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim to establish the Kaaba. And now Ibrahim alayhi salam, with the help of his son, they start building the Kaaba. Jibreel tells him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it this way, Allah wants it that way, and Ibrahim alayhi salam will build the Kaaba. And the way Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, he started with the foundation. There's something called the foundation of the Kaaba. There's something called the foundation of the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. We had revealed to Ibrahim the position of the Kaaba, the position of the house. When we say al-bayt, we refer to the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that told Ibrahim, I want, through Jibreel, I want the Kaaba to be there, exactly where it is. So when Ibrahim alayhi salam started building the Kaaba, it's not like, you know what, I find this position good, that spot is good, that corner. No, no, Allah told him I want it to be there. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was receiving instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel to establish the Kaaba. وَإِذَا بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكُوعِ السُّجُودِ. We had instructed Ibrahim alayhi salam where to establish the Kaaba, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, do not ascribe any partners to me. وَطَهِرْ بَيْتِيَ. Make sure that my house is purified from any ignorance, from any disbelief. And make sure it's clean for those who are coming to perform tawaf, for those who are coming to pray, for those who are coming to bow, for those who are coming to perform prostration. إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ الَّذِي بِبَكَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the first house to be established for people is the house in Bakka. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala name Makkah in the Quran al-Kareem? Bakka. Bakka, Makkah, synonym words for the same place. وَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is a mercy and guidance for mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to establish that house in that position. And there's something called the usus. There's something called the foundation of the Kaaba. The foundation of the Kaaba is something that later on during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they came to renovate the Kaaba, they destroyed the Kaaba and went down to the foundation. And they saw the foundation like the humps of camels. One old man tried to remove that rock and there was a strong light that just sparked in his face. So they knew that this is an area not to touch. There's different sayings, different narrations from the scholars when they talk about the foundation of the Kaaba. But the Kaaba has foundations. It's not like it was just established on the top of the land. There's foundations there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran al-Kareem, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ. When Ibrahim started to build and develop the Kaaba from its qawa'id, from its foundation. So we do believe in something called the foundation of the Kaaba. What's exactly that foundation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But the only story that we have, there were rocks like the humps of camels. One old man during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, that's before the prophecy tried to remove one of them. He was hit with a strong light in his face. So they knew that this is an area not to be touched. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ So when Ibrahim alayhi salam, alongside Ismail, both were working on establishing the Kaaba, starting from the foundation and building the Kaaba, being instructed by Jibreel alayhi salam how to build the Kaaba. And while they were building the Kaaba, what were they saying? رَبَّنَا وَجْعَنْ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ While they were building the Kaaba, they were making dua, Ya Allah, accept this sacrifice from us. Accept this effort. You could be putting a lot of time and effort, but did Allah accept it? You could be sacrificing for Allah. You could be paying money. You could be traveling. You could be going here and there. But at the end of the day, did Allah accept it from you or not? So while Ibrahim and Ismail are establishing the Kaaba, they were making dua, Ya Allah, accept this effort from us. Accept this sacrifice. Accept this time. They are putting a lot of hard yards and they're putting a lot of time here. Ya Allah, accept it from us. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا يا الله and make us to be submitters مسلمين make us to be Muslims who submit to your will submit to your orders and our progeny يا الله make our offsprings and our progeny from amongst those who submit to you مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا مناسك means the rituals of Has. Ya Allah, share us the rituals of Hajj. They need instructions. And this is the point that I always mention. This is a point that I constantly repeat. You worship Allah according to His way. Allah's way, not your way. You don't go and worship Allah the way you want Him. Or the way you want it in your mind. You worship Allah His way, not your way. You pray to Allah, Allah's way, not your way. So now while Ibrahim and Ismail are establishing and building the Kaaba, they're asking Allah, Ya Allah, guide us to what connects you. Guide us to what pleases you. Guide us to the rituals that connects us to you. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ While they were building the Kaaba, they were saying, Ya Allah, send amongst them a prophet and a messenger that will guide the people of this town. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ Ya Allah, send to the people of this town a messenger from amongst them that will teach them your verses that will teach them your book. وَيَعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيَزَكِّيهِمْ They will guide them. They will teach them what's in the book. They will guide them to your pleasure. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua. What happened? Allah sent a prophet and a messenger from amongst them. Who was that prophet and messenger from amongst the people of Mecca? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from the progeny of Ibrahim. From the children of Ismail. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ancestry goes back to Ismail and Ibrahim alayhim as-salam. So they start to build the Kaaba and they built it in accordance to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be built. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was laying the bricks, so Ismail alayhi salam was passed on the bricks to Ibrahim and Ibrahim was laying the bricks. So Ibrahim was the bricklayer and Ismail is like the apprentice if the terms apply. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was laying the bricks, Ismail will pass on the bricks to Ibrahim alayhi salam. When the height of the wall became higher than the height of Ibrahim, Ibrahim needed a rock to stand on. Ibrahim needed a rock to stand on. They didn't have ladders, they didn't have this, they didn't have that, or scaffolding. They didn't have all this. So he needed a rock to raise his height for him to build the wall of the Kaaba higher. Ibrahim was so committed. You know when we talk about commitment? He was so committed in building the Kaaba and fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. He never stopped working until he used to collapse from tiredness and fatigue. That when he stood on that rock, he'll stay standing on that rock without a break. Standing on that rock until his feet sunk in that rock. Imagine just standing, building and standing and building non-stop. No break, no clock on or clock off. Wallah, over time or not over time. This is the command of Allah. I need to fulfill it. Allah commanded me to build this house. I'm not going to take a break until Allah Azza wa Jalla is happy from me, until Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased from me. So Ibrahim stood on this rock and his legs sunk in this rock because he was just standing there non-stop. And that rock became later on what? Maqam Ibrahim. the station of Ibrahim. And it was attached to the Kaaba. Until people start to stumble during the time of Umar al-Khattab, say he moved about 20 meters away from the Kaaba. This is what we know as maqam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, take the station of Ibrahim as a place that you pray at, or towards. Obviously pray towards the Kaaba, but the station of Ibrahim is a place that you pray after you finish your tawaf, in which it signifies and it reminds you of that commitment when it comes to Allah. When Allah orders, you obey and you are committed. It's not like, when I feel like it. And that's what's happening, when I feel like it. Where's your commitment to Allah Azza wa Jal? We sit in a lesson like this for about half an hour. When is this God going to finish? Can't wait. No commitment. We are less committed. We're not dedicated when it comes to Allah. Ibrahim was so committed in fulfilling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandment that he stood on this rock, his legs sunk in it. Can you imagine that? That means this man was standing on this rock for so long, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours non-stop, until he finished. And every time he'll build and every time he lays the brick, he'll step out and he'll watch it from each corner, making sure that it's perfect. Why? This is the command of Allah. You're not building anything. You're not building anything. And subhanAllah, when this center was coming up, I used to always think of Ibrahim. You know, this is the center that represents the deen of Allah. And that's why it's got to be so good. I don't care, my house is one thing, but the house of Allah is something else. If I want my house to be perfect, Allah's house has got to be more perfect. Wallahi, it disheartens me when I walk into an Islamic center or mosque and the masjid is just so disorganized. Me, you see me when I walk here. If I see a tissue box out of place, I fix it. Why, this is Allah's house, not my house. May look at me and look down at me as much as you want, but don't look down at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. This is Allah's house, got to be 100% perfect. Look around, mashallah. Everything's got to be perfect. This is Allah's house. And subhanallah, Ibrahim, every time he lays one layer of bricks, he'll step out, look at it from different corners, making sure that it's straight. Some narrations say it was so perfectly straight with all the primitive tools that they had back then. Punctuality, commitment, dedication. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about, the commitment of Ibrahim. Ibrahim alladhi waffa. Until he built the Kaaba. And obviously the structure of the Kaaba, the way it is now, is different to the original structure of Ibrahim. And that's a different topic. It was wider and shorter, and it had two doors they enter from. But that's a different topic. So Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba. After he built the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to differentiate a corner of the four corners of the Kaaba different to the rest of the corners, so it could be the starting point of the laps of the tawaf. So he told his son Ismail, after he really exhausted him, he told him, go and look for a rock, go and search for a rock that's in different color than the rest of the rocks. We make it to be a mark in one of those corners. So Ismail said, oh dad, and he ever done it? Let me rest. I'm a bit tired, a bit lazy. So his father told him, lazy? Tired? When it comes to Allah, get up and go and look for something. We need to fulfill this. We need to finish it off. This is the command of Allah. We're not building a house for some bloke. We're not building a house for some person. We're not building a house for some... We're building it for Allah. There's no stopping. There's no resting. So Ismail went and he searched and he searched and he searched and looked and looked and looked and went and came. He couldn't find a rock that's in different color than the rest of the rocks. So he came back and he saw his father carrying a white rock. So he told him, oh father, where did you get this white rock from? I've been going around searching, searching, searching. I couldn't find it. So he said, I got it from the one that never gets tired and never lazy. Who's that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I got it from the one that never gets tired and never lazy. That's Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended down a white rock from the heaven. What do we know that rock as? The black rock. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says it was white. And then later on became black because of the sins of people. So he put that white rock in a corner. That's known as the corner of the black rock. And that corner, that's where you start your tawaf. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to perform tawaf, you start from the black stone corner and you enter the black stone corner. And obviously there's a number of hadith. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, those who kiss or touch or wave to the black stone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the black stone witness for them in the hereafter. They came to this place, to the end of the hadith. Obviously there's no pushing and shoving, and it's not a rugby union. They have to go and fight over that rock. If you can get there, get there. If you can't, just wave to it from far. So Ibrahim alayhi salam established that Kaaba. All right, alhamdulillah, first mission fulfilled. Second mission, Ibrahim, he established the Kaaba. Perfect. Great. Tick. Next. Go and invite people to come and perform tawaf. This is the time that you get up and you start calling people to come here. Ibrahim looks around. He says, "Ya Allah, to whom is my voice going to reach to? There's no one here. Like, you know, I'm going to call, scream, shout. No one is here." So he says, "Ya Allah, you want me to call people and invite them to come and perform pilgrimage here, for them to come and perform tawaf, for them to come and visit this place. To whom is my voice going to reach to?" So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Ibrahim, "You do your job. The rest is on us. You call and we'll convey. You call, we'll deliver." Subhanallah. At the end of the day, you have a duty. You just obey Allah. The rest is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray, the rest comes from Allah. You sacrifice, the rest comes from Allah. You do what you need to do, the rest comes from Allah, not from you. You do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, the rest comes from Allah, not from you. So Ibrahim alayhi salam looks around and he sees the highest peak of a mountain, which is known as Jabal Abi Qubais. And he climbed that mountain and he stood on the peak of that mountain and he looked around and he said, "All people around the world, Allah had established a house and Allah commands you to come and visit it. So come and visit it." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his voice reach not only people during his time, but Allah made the voice of Ibrahim, the call of Ibrahim, reach every single Muslim to the day of judgment. You do your job, the rest is on us. I just came back from Umrah. And I go to Hajj, and I know a lot of you have been to Hajj and Umrah. What are you doing? You are responding to the call of Ibrahim. Where's Ibrahim? He died thousands of years ago. Allah made his voice and call reach you. And this is something for us to learn. At the end of the day, you do what Allah wants you to do, and you leave the rest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِنٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. And call people to come and perform Hajj. People will come riding, walking from every corner of this world. People will come. But you make that call. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obligation upon people that they come perform Hajj. So you call and we'll make people here. So it's not always about measuring things according to the way you see it. You've got one measurement, but Allah has a different measurement. You do one thing, Allah will make other things happen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam will reach everywhere. The way day and night had reached everywhere. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, and Islam did not even exceed the Arabian Peninsula. Now Islam is every single corner around the world, around the globe. You do your job, and the rest to Allah. It's not up to you to see the results and the outcomes. Results and outcomes come from Allah Azza wa Jalla, not from you. Not because of your effort, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a responsibility. You do the job. Fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the outcomes. The outcomes can be during your time, it can be after, it can be later on. Ibrahim alayhi salam fulfilled the job. He called, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the outcomes thousands of years after him. And now, millions of people flock to Mecca, responding to his call, to the call of Allah, Ibrahim, and the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam establishes the Kaaba. And that's why when you go to Mecca, you are following the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to set the boundaries of Mecca. And this is why you call the Haram. The Haram is not only the mosque. Haram is the boundaries of Mecca. From one end to another end, there's about 60 k's. It could go up to 60 k's from one end to another end. And other ends could go about 25 k's. Who is the one that set those boundaries? Ibrahim. How? Jibreel told him, you're going to set the boundaries of the Haram. The sanctity of Mecca. The Haram of Mecca. Where did we get this Haram from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sent Jibreel alayhi salam to Ibrahim to set the boundaries. We call it the boundaries of Mecca, the Haram of Mecca. It was set by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam continued to live in Palestine. And from time to time, he used to check up on his son Ismail in Mecca. And Ismail grew, became old, and he became the chief of his people. And he became the prophet and messenger of his people. And he called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca, and he called the people of Jurhum. And during the time of Ismail, the people of Jurhum, And the entire tribe that lived in Mecca, they were all Muslims, adhering to the call of Ismail, the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Until Hajar alayhi salam passed away, the mother of Ismail, before Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then after Hajar, Sarah, the first wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, passed away, and she was 127 years old, according to some narrations. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was also grieved and upset over the death of Hajar and Sarah. Then after Hajar and Sarah passed away, Ibrahim alayhi salam passed away. And Ibrahim alayhi salam passed away in Palestine, in a place called Hebron, known as Khalil. Khalil. And that's why they named the city after Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he's buried there. And Ibrahim alayhi salam passed away, in some narrations say 180 years old, other narrations say 160 years old, other narrations say this and that, Allahu A'lam, but obviously he was over 100 and something. And obviously the numbers don't really benefit much, but some narrations say 175, 180, 160, around that figure. And he was buried in Al-Khalil, which is in Palestine. His grave is there. Is 100% that's his grave? No one can say 100%. The only 100% grave that we say it is the grave of Prophet and a Messenger is the grave of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. Any other grave, there's a doubt. But we know Ibrahim alayhi salam most likely passed away in Palestine in the city of Khalil, which is known now as Khalil. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah ittakhadha Ibrahim khalila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken Ibrahim as a Khalil. What's Khalil? Khalil is not a friend. You have a friend, and you have a very close friend. Friend in Arabic, sadiq. Sahib. Very close friend, dear friend, you call him Khalil. Khalil. A dear friend is someone who is a very close friend. Very dear friend. You trust them to the max. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taken Ibrahim as a very close friend. What friendship? Like my friendship and your friendship? No. Ibrahim being the Khalil of Allah means a very close servant to Allah. Close servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Ibrahim is the one that Allah says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابِ وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Allah said, and we made the prophecy in his progeny. All prophets and messengers that came after Ibrahim are from the descent, from the progeny, offsprings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim, وَاجْعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Ya Allah, make people remember me in good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua, in which Allah makes Ibrahim to be mentioned by every denomination, every religion, the Christians, the Jews, the Muslims. Every single one of them agree on Ibrahim. Everyone speaks highly of Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim to be remembered on the tongues of people after him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prophecy in his progeny, in his offspring. So all prophets and messengers, they all come from him. So he had Ismail and he have Ishaq. Ismail from his progeny, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest prophet and messenger of all. From Ishaq, he had Yaqub. Yaqub is Israel. Israel had 12 children, and then you have the children of Israel. Most of the prophets and messengers come from Israel. Ismail alayhi salam lived in Mecca. He died in Mecca. We don't have much about Ismail besides that he lived in Mecca, passed away in Mecca. Some narrations say he's buried somewhere around the Kaaba. Okay. And one brother, when I said that, he said, whereabouts around the Kaaba? I said, inshallah, in the hereafter, when he gets resurrected, I'll tell you exactly whereabouts around the Kaaba. How am I supposed to know exactly whereabouts the Kaaba? Yani where? You know, some people on the details, yani. I don't know. He's somewhere around there. Allahu a'lam where. Is he next to Zamzam? I don't know. Is he next to Maqam Ibrahim? Wallah, I don't know. Is he next to this? Allahu a'lam. All we know is somewhere around there. Inshallah, in the hereafter, I'll tell you where. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ismail in the Quran Kareem. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِسْمَعِيلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَادِقَ الْوَعْدِ. Allah praised Ismail in the Quran Kareem. He was very punctual. He was very punctual when it comes to timing. Subhanallah. Punctuality. It's not a Western thing. It's an Islamic thing. To be on time. To stick to the timing. خلاص, we start this, start that. Subhanallah. You've got people. 8 o'clock. He leaves his house at 8 o'clock. That means 8:30. Heka, subhanallah, we've got this mentality. Punctuality is part of Islam. To the extent that once Ismail alayhi salam had agreed to meet with someone at Fajr, he waited for him till Isha. From Fajr till Isha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised Ismail in the Quran al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also praised Ismail, وَكَانَ رَسُولًا نَبِيًّا. He was a messenger and a prophet. So he had the high rank. وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًا. And he used to encourage his family, his household, to pray, to fast, which is a quality of a righteous man, always encouraging his family to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Not Allah, just you fear Allah and your kids, you don't care about them. How many people see these days? They come to the mosque, where's your kids? They don't care. Let the sheikh come and take care of them. No, you're responsible for your household. And he passed away, alayhi salam, and he passed away in Mecca, and he died in Mecca, and from his progeny, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. Between Muhammad and Ismail, there's at least 40 generations. According to some narrations, of course, 40 generations between Muhammad and Ismail. Are there any prophets between Ismail and Muhammad? No prophet or messenger between Ismail and Muhammad in Mecca. But there were a lot of other prophets outside the progeny of Ismail to Muhammad in other areas. And we'll talk about them, and these are the prophets and messengers that we'll talk about later on. Ishaq alayhi salam is the other son of Ibrahim, the brother of Ismail, the younger brother of Ismail. How many years between Ismail and Ishaq? If you really want to think about it, there's about 15 years. Remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salvaged, when Allah azza wa saved Ismail from the slaughtering, and then Allah blessed Ibrahim with another son, Ishaq. 15, 20 maybe around those gaps, nothing precise. And we don't know much about Ishaq, besides what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, that he was a gift, and then Allah azza wa jal also gifted his mom to see her grandson Yaqub, and another name for Yaqub is what? Israel. Because you need to remember that one. Yaqub is Israel, Israel Yaqub. Israel is not a country. Israel is a prophet, a messenger. Later on became a country. Israel is a name of a prophet, a messenger. His other name is Yaqub alayhi salam. And that's a different story that we'll be talking about later on. As from now, we finish from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Next week we're going to talk about the story of Lut. Because that comes in the same time as Ibrahim alayhi salam. Remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam left Babylon, the northern Iraq, or north Iraq, he left with Lut, and Allah says, فَآمَنَ لَهُ Lut. Lut was the only one, beside the wife of Ibrahim, was the only one that believed in the core of Ibrahim and followed Ibrahim. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Lut and made him to be a messenger, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to Sodom. And that's a story we'll talk about next week. جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم حمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah, 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 Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah, Jannah, Jannah.